sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive on 95BFM.
Come in, Rita Steele.
Hello, hello. How are you all?
Good, I'm good. You're a bit under the weather, that's why you're phoning in this edition of Sustaining Alive?
Yeah, I have one of those annoying summer colds.
Ah, damn it. Mm.
Yeah, I know. Who gets them? It's ridiculous. Sorry, I'm staying away so that everyone in the studio doesn't get it too, and please excuse everyone out there, excuse my croaky voice.
That's all right, that's all right. Now, what are we talking about this evening on Sustaining Alive?
One of New Zealand's favourite summer pastimes, fishing. So we have actually talked about it before, very early days of Sustaining Alive. We've talked about New Zealand's well-regarded quota system, so one of the best in the world, and we've talked about some of its flaws. So I thought I'd just quickly recap the system called the Maximum Sustainable Yield, which is a model that we use in New Zealand that sets the quota and then dishes out quotas to those who pay for them. And there's lots of flaws in it, which is what the last topic kind of covered. One of them was that it looks at the species level rather than the health of the environment that the fish are in, or the interactions they have with other fish. So perhaps, you know, they only breed if a certain other fish are around, or the temperature is a certain degree, or whatever. And also sort of unusual reproductive traits of some of them. So some of them might only breed if there's, you know, a certain percentage males to females and that kind of thing, which the system we use just doesn't even think about at all. Mm. It uses this nice little graph and then goes, yep, we're going to mark a point on that and we're going to use that. So we kind of looked at that a few months ago, and we can dig it out, I'm sure, the podcast, and post it up for everyone to have a listen to, because that is its own topic, really. This time we're going to talk about something that has come up in the news recently, and that's just how flawed the system is from a reporting standpoint. So firstly, in theory, the way that they report the health of a fishery is that if the quota is being caught by these fisheries companies, then they say the fish stock is healthy. So that's the only feedback mechanism that they really have for it. They're going, okay, cool, we say you can... What was that, sorry?
It's being measured on catch.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So if you can catch it, yeah, sure, it still must be healthy. So that's kind of a stupid way of seeing things, because if you think about it, if you've got a pond of 100 fish in this pond, and we say you can catch 5 fish a year, and let's just assume there's no breed production for sake of argument for this kind of example.
Yeah, pond's fucked.
Well, you know, if there's no reproduction, the pond is pretty fucked.
So you can't fish that pond at all if there's no reproduction, though, just for argument's sake.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. But because we actually don't know the reproduction of these fish, let's just say in real life, something like the orange ruffy, which doesn't actually reproduce very often, I think. I don't know myself. I'm pretty sure it's about every 80 years or something stupid like that. It might be every 20 years. And what they did was they were like, hey, you can go and get 10,000 tons or whatever of this fish. So this example is kind of like the orange ruffy example, really, where they went, okay, cool, well, in a 20-year period, we're gonna completely wipe out this, because they didn't realise that it wasn't reproducing fast enough to catch up because of this kind of very flawed way that they set the quotas. But in a nutshell, if they say you can have 5 every year, in the first sort of 10 years, you're able to catch them with your hands because there's so many in this tiny pond. Then over time, it starts getting a little harder to catch them. So you go out and you buy a net, but you're still able to catch your 5 every year. And then it gets harder and harder. So you go, oh, well, you know, what I'm going to do is just get a fish scanner and find it that way. Mm. And so it's sort of, you know, the technology has caught up so that we can still catch the 5 fish, even though there's less and less of them there. And we're not seeing a real picture because in theory, it's supposed to say, the system's supposed to be like, hey, we're not able to catch these 5 fish, so there's something wrong. But because we've got great technology, and I mean, some of these poor fish, like the big tuna that they're catching, they actually have helicopters go out and track them. So, I mean, they've got no hope. And in the meantime, people are willing to pay more and more and more for these fish. So it doesn't matter that they're having to sink a bit more into equipment to catch them. So it's a really flawed system.
It's weird. I always kind of imagined it'd be cool if there was somehow an amount you could get right at the beginning of the oceans, and then humans now, you know, like how many fish we've actually eaten, because you just don't know, right? It's not like you can look at a paddock and go, there's this many cows in it, meant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and there's some really interesting stories that were written in the early days of the New York area, like Cape Cod and those sorts of areas up in the New England area, where they literally were going out and grabbing cod with their hands. Like, they were just like, you walk into the water and they were just all around them. Like, they could feel the fish around them.
It was probably called something else before it was called Cape Cod.
No, I would assume it was. Well, who knows? Indigenous people probably called it something quite similar, but in their language. They managed to fish it a bit more sustainably than the colonisers have. Fancy that. So that's kind of, you know, one of the biggest problems. But that isn't actually even the biggest problem. The biggest problem is actually corruption on this reporting. So one of the examples that was found a few years ago is some countries, and I think it was China from memory, had over-reported some of their fish to make some of the stocks seem a bit healthier than they actually were. So you get that problem. But then what we've found very recently is that New Zealand, which is one of the least corrupted countries in the world, has actually been found to be majorly under-reporting our fish stock. And there's some other quite scary forms of corruption that we'll just talk about in a minute.
Is this bycatch? Is this what you're referring to?
Yeah. So basically what they do is, so in 2016, a study came out where they basically looked at the dumping of fish, so bycatch, and they found that actually the true catch was three times the reported number.
Wow.
So if you have a quota for snapper, then you're going to go out and catch snapper. And if you accidentally catch, well, undersized snapper or lots of other species like kahawai or kiriki, then you're just going to throw them back in and they're going to be dead. Like, so it's completely, in theory, I think it's a great idea having a quota, but there's some major fails in it. And this is one of them, that you go out looking for a certain type of fish and
everything else
disregard
becomes
everything else.
Sort of a casualty of the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so this study that came out basically was quite a big shock to the fishing world globally, because we'd been held up as this amazing kind of example, and then they went, oh my gosh.
We're all about the Kaimoana, aren't we?
Yeah, it was pretty awful. And this is where our story actually begins, because what was awful about this study was that it actually utilised an MPI report which trialled CCTV cameras on commercial vessels. And this MPI study, which, by the way, was paid for by the taxpayer, was not going to be released. So they weren't going to release it. They thought, oh, we just found out this huge, devastating news about something that we think is amazing. We're just going to keep telling the world that we're amazing and just not tell the taxpayers, not tell the world. Let's not face up to what we're doing wrong. So it wasn't even going to be released until Greenpeace released it, basically. And that I'm pretty sure that was under the Official Information Act, which is such a great piece of legislation. Thank God we have it. So it was released. Then MPI refused to prosecute once it was released, even though it was rife in the industry. It wasn't a case of just a couple of boats doing this. This was just everyone was doing ridiculous amounts of bycatch and completely lying about it when they came on shore or in their records. So MPI refused to prosecute, but after a lot of pressure, they instead regulated that all commercial fishing vessels, would have CCTV, and that would be monitored by MPI. And I'll just point out that the industry fought this the entire way. So they were like, okay, fine, we'll put the CCTVs on, but we'll monitor them ourselves. And MPI, you know, actually it was mainly Greenpeace lobbied, no, that's not good enough. And finally the MPI decided that they would monitor. So it was actually a massive win. And that was actually all under the national government. So it was probably one of the few things they did really well for the environment when they were in power. But then under the coalition government, this has been completely put on ice. So the minister has said that he won't implement cameras until there's buy-in from the industry. Why would the industry buy into this? Like, it's just completely against their ethos at this point to buy into this. So it's been put on ice. I looked into why this is. Like, why are the coalition, I thought that, you know, Labor government had actually you know, lobbied for greater regulation around fishing. But it looks like it's the New Zealand First Party, who received, by the way, campaign donations from Tallies, who are one of the bigger quota holders. So you start looking at that and going, oh, that's not great. Then you find out that there was also an independent inquiry which was going to happen into this by Catch and what it means to the industry and the quotas and how we set the quotas, which was so needed. And Labor ran on this as a policy in the lead-up to the election, but that has also been quashed. And I sort of said, thought, well, okay, well, let's see, do we actually need an independent inquiry? And I, after looking into it, I would say the government is so far up the arses of the fishing industry that we absolutely do. And the example I have of that, and this is thanks to the spin, there's a great spin-off article that I will link you guys to, but Tallies has been recently found to illegally bottom trawl a protected international area, which is pretty shocking. Like, we're supposed to be this great country. Bottom trawling a protected area is not good. So they're actually being sued. And the government has now gone into bat for Tallies and tried to get them off this court case and is also trying to get them off an international blacklist. So it makes you wonder. I mean, by the way, this is completely against, you know, cabinet rules. It's completely against the rules of how we run our land that the government goes in to bat on an international scale with a private company that's broken international laws. It's kind of crazy. So absolutely we needed this independent inquiry, and it's really sad that it's been quashed. So
what's the vibe? Is it the fact that we're kind of over promising the consumer with what's actually available, and they're just going out and trying to get what they can because the needs are saying so? Do we need to maybe change our vision of what is actually available sustainably as consumers?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, New Zealand, again, we're a big export. Like, fisheries is a big export market for us.
Yeah, well, maybe that's...
Yeah, you know, and the dollar amount on some of the fish.
You know, it's like every other company, they're always trying to beat the last year's profits, right? So you're just going to try and catch a few more fish. You're going to do whatever you can to do that, i.e. trawling the bottom of places you shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Maybe it's an industry we shouldn't be trying to beat every year. We should just be trying to...
Domestically, can we do anything? I mean, what's the worst of the two evils? Obviously, is the international market, or, you know, trying to supply the international market the problem here, or is it also the domestic market, which, you know, like eating fish, which aren't line caught?
Yeah, you know, I think fisheries is probably one of the first resources that's coming up against that. You know, exactly, as you said, Hungary, you know, this concept of, like, every year we've got to have growth, and it's actually completely at odds with the fact that, you know...
It's a finite thing.
That it's a finite thing, and rapidly declining. So, you know, I think that there's probably been growth upheld by international demand through, you know, increasing of prices, because some of the prices that some per kilo prices that some of these fish go for is pretty phenomenal.
Right.
And completely out of the range of any normal New Zealander.
Yeah, especially the price sort of on the line fish, eh?
Yeah. But, you know, a return to... And New Zealand's got one of the largest, I'm pretty sure it is the largest economic exclusive zone. So our fishing zone is larger than anyone else's for the size of the land. You know, so I think that we could massively take a leadership position here. And, you know, if we had people, you know, those super wealthy countries that want to eat some of these amazing fish, you know, maybe they could come over and do sail tours. I mean, I know that this is such a romantic idea, and
we've got to start thinking about other ways.
We do, and we have to start throwing them out there, and just like you would do in a business, yellow hat everything. Like, let's just throw out a whole lot of good ideas and work on which ones, you know, and move towards it. Like, you know, right now what's happening is the fishing industry is trying to offer a deal. So they're saying to the government that they will stop it. They will stop dumping fish, which, by the way, is illegal. But they've said they'll stop dumping fish if cameras on boats scheme is dumped, the independent inquiry stays away, and that anyone found illegally dumping fish gets a $250 fine.
How convenient.
They also want to have a 30% increase in their quota, and they want to get a signing bonus, which goes into the tens of millions. And it's like, who the fuck are you guys? But you cannot...
They're Tallies.
Yeah, you know, like, you cannot hold the country to ransom like this. Like, Yeah, it's quite unbelievable. So I think, yeah, I think that now is the time for leadership. And I'd love to see, you know, it sounds like it's a very much so an old boys club. And I say that because I'm not entirely sure what the, I just mean that in its generic term. Uh-huh. It's a club of people that have been there forever, you know, it's been done a certain way forever. Time to mix that shit up, you know, get some new minds in there, get some new brains. How do we add value to this? You know, maybe frozen hokey distributed to, you know, the world is not necessarily what we want to be winning in.
Right on.
So what you can do, make sure you keep an eye on what fish you should and shouldn't be eating. That's always a really good one. But, I mean, I would say most of us can only afford to eat fish that isn't...
Sprouts for everyone.
That's the one. But also feel free to write to Winston Peters and Shane Jones and give them a piece of your mind. It seems very old school, but both of those people have got great big egos. And if you tell them that you're not supporting them, you're going to tell your grandmothers not to support them.
Great.
Blah, blah,
take
blah.
It to the grey.
you know, they may listen, who knows. The other one is Stuart Nash. He is our Minister of Fisheries. And the thing is, I think this has been going on behind closed doors for so long, they think no one's watching. Mm. You know, if they know that people are talking about it on the radio, they know they're talking to their friends about it, they're writing about it, then this stuff is going to be recognised and realise that they can't get away with it anymore.
Ka pai, right. Ka pai.
Hey, Rita, thank you very much for a very powerful edition of Sustaining Alive.
My apologies, we may have to make a swear jar for me.
Oh, that's all right, that's all
well,
right.
Well, shit the fuck, don't worry about it.
You guys have a great night and I will chat to you next week.
Take it easy,
y'all. Awesome.
See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.